This is the Life Truth Network.
Quest for Our Truth, Episode 383.
Quest for Truth, presented by Protectorate Productions and HPN, Helpsley Podcast Network. Now located at life-truth.com. And now, here are your hosts, Keith Helpsley and Nathan Caldwell.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome. This is your host, Keith. It's time, once again, for Quest for Truth. Hey, this, you know, it occurred to me that this will be the first week in the month, and I already did our Quest for Truth that we, or, I'm sorry, our Truth Exposed that we'd like to do a deep dive into the scriptures. It actually ended up being the last Monday release of August, but missed it by one day. But here we are, picking up the slack here and doing this command. I actually could have done this the previous week, but I actually didn't have all my notes ready. So it worked out. But here we are talking about the sixth commandment, which is a very basic one. But it's about, you know, thou shalt not murder. And we'll get more into it. I wanted to real quick talk about the resource that I'm using, the Westminster Confession of Faith, Catechism Questions, which has a lot of good reference, scripture reference resources in its statement. Sometimes I don't fully agree with the statement, and once in a while a scripture passage will be like, well, out of context, if you ask me. But as a whole, it's a real excellent resource. I actually did look up the Treasury of Scripture Knowledge, which is cross reference. It gives cross reference supports for the command. Now, the one difference, the reason why I decided to go with the Westminster is it gives it in a logical order. You know, they make a statement, and they have scriptures plugged into the statement, so it gives it in a more topical sense as it draws scriptures in. Whereas the difference with using the cross-reference is they typically list them in order as they appear in the books of the Bible. It's from Genesis to Revelation. So it doesn't give you a topical sense of the supports, but when I read through them, pretty much the scripture support for no murdering and thou shalt not murder is all there. It's just one is in a linear list of support, and the other one pulls the verses out and applies the context to a topical support. So there's a good reason why we do a topical study once in a while. What we, like I said, with our Truth Exposed, we do that expository. We dig in and see what the scripture right there says about itself. We don't always draw in a lot of outside resource, but sometimes we do. I just wanted to point out that difference before we do that. You know, and I've been yapping on for quite some time trying to describe what we're going to be doing in our show today. I'm going to take a break right now and turn to the good folks over there at your Christian Podcast Community, which we are a part of, ChristianPodcastCommunity.org. You'll hear a bunch of great shows. There's like at least 50 people over there now. And you know what? We try to not only play their promos, but once in a while we have been known to interview some of the podcasters. We've interviewed, Andrew Rappaport, at least once, I think twice, actually. And we've interviewed people who've written books, our voice of the podcast, Anthony Russo. We've talked to Daniel Minnick, or Minnick, I keep forgetting, Minnick or Minnick. However my jaw's voice says it's backwards, it's the other way. but he knows what his name is. But we'd like to interview more if folks are in the group and the community actually listen to my show and they want to be interviewed on the podcast, they just drop me a line and let me know. If you're not on the Christian podcast community and you have something that you would, a ministry or a book or something that you want to get out there and support, hey, just drop me a line, let me know. And we'll be happy to interview you about that. We have actually done that with people like Greg Kokel. We've interviewed him, talked to him about his book. At the time, it was, what was the name of the book? Being a Good Ambassador, that book. That's not the title of it, but my mind just went fried on me there.
That's okay, Keith. I'll bail you out. His book is titled Tactics.
We've had Chase Thompson on to talk about his book about Easter and resurrection. We've had other folks on to talk about their books and so forth. So, hey, if you are a person who has that, drop me a line. This is your ingrained invitation. And if I can get around to it, I'll start inviting folks to see if we can't do some interviewing and cross-promoting that way. Anyway, wow. My whole preamble to listen to the folks at the CPC has gone out this whole new direction there. Sorry, folks. But hey, right after you hear these promos, we'll get started with our main topic. So here we go.
How is your flame of truth, Christian? Is it burning bright? Hi, I'm Rebecca Berschwinger, creator and host of One Little Candle, a weekly podcast dedicated to encouraging, empowering, and equipping believers to be the light that God has called us to be, so that we may pass down undefiled the truth of God's infallible word to the next generation. So join me and light your own little corner of the world. You can listen to One Little Candle on all major podcast platforms or at christianpodcastcommunity.org.
The Christian Podcast Community is a cohesive group of like-minded Christian podcasters proclaiming the truths of Christ with expertise and passion in the areas of theology, church history, Christian living, evangelism, apologetics, parenting, homeschooling, sermons, and much, much more. So check us out at christianpodcastcommunity.org. christianpodcastcommunity.org. One stop for all your favorite Christian podcasts.
Main topic.
We're looking at the sixth commandment.
Question 134, which is the sixth commandment? The answer is, of course, the sixth commandment is thou shalt not kill.
Which basically in Hebrew says no murder. And there's a difference in that word murder between kill. Although thou shalt not kill is the King James way of doing that. I decided to look into Westminster Confession as a guide. I will be reading the statement mixed in with the scripture. And there are, some are kind of long. There are 20 reference points. I'm only going to probably make it through the first 10. Because those are really the strongest points. The other ones are there to kind of fill things in or round things out. Not that they're not important, but I'm going to stop at halfway through their reference points on their statement. Let's get going with this because I want to talk about, of course, Westminster. They break things down into duties, things that we should proactively do, positive things we should do. I'm not going to talk about that today. It does ask.
Question 136. What are the sins forbidden in the sixth commandment? Answer, the sins forbidden in the sixth commandment are all taking away the life of ourselves.
In Acts 16:28, but Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do not harm yourself, for we are all here." And I'm reading this from the NASB, New American Standard Bible, version 1977, I believe it is. In this context, Paul is telling the jailer that not to kill himself because the prisoners have not escaped. Of course, killing yourself in Roman society, well, that would be the noble thing to do because you're going to die anyway because you let your prisoners go. But he's saying, don't kill yourself. Other places in the Old Testament, you find that Saul fell on a sword. But the command to not murder, you don't want to murder yourself. I mean, Westminster calls it a sin. I would debate that. It's not a sin, but it's definitely not what you should do. I say it's not a sin because it's not, the deadly sin. But it definitely is something you don't want to do. I'll put it any differently.
Or of others.
Genesis 9:6. Whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. For in the image of God he made man. Now, this is, I think Nathan Caldwell refers to this, and it's an anchor thing we should refer to. We are made in the image of God. You shouldn't murder yourself or someone else in this case, because they are the image of God. And it's important to note that whoever sheds man's blood, by man his blood shall be shed. God's not going to come down and strike you with the bolt of lightning. He expects man to police man. And men have the authority to do that. We'll talk more about that as we go on.
Except in case of public justice.
Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah.
Early on in Genesis, we see that man was made in God's image. Man is an image bearer of God. That sets man apart from all of creation. And there's nothing wrong to say that. That's true. Man is set apart from all creation in that he is an image bearer of God. Also, he was breathed a living soul. But the image bearer of God, there's an innate value in that. And so God told man, don't murder. You see it in Exodus. And the principles throughout Scripture. Not to mention the moral principle indwelling in the hearts and minds of pretty much all mankind, unless that mankind has some kind of mental illness. Killing is wrong. I'm talking about killing as in murder. We are not talking about capital punishment. If you look in the Old Testament, you'll see that the government of Israel was given the authority to do capital punishment. You will also see, I believe, in Romans 13 that God has given man the authority, as far as government goes, government the authority, to be the avenger, so to speak, or the rewarder, you might say. In other words, you can either be blessed by them or you're going to pay for your crimes. Sometimes that includes capital punishment. I am not against capital punishment. I do not believe that is what God was saying when he said, "Thou shalt not kill" in the King James, or as it's said other places, "don't murder" is really what he was saying. Don't take that innocent life. And I'll even go so far as to say, even if you think a life is guilty, you don't have the right just to take it on your own. You have to go through the proper channels, proper authority. You know, vigilantism isn't a good thing. defending somebody is, and defending yourself is, but just going out and getting somebody is not acceptable. But let's go into looking at taking of an innocent life. The most innocent life I can think of, apart from, of course, Christ, who did no sin at all and had no sin nature. Other than that, the most innocent is that unborn child that has done no wrong, hasn't even been born yet. And to take the life of that unborn child in abortion, to me, is the very epitome of murder. That's the biggest example of murder that I can think of. And it's wrong. It's just plain wrong.
Thank you, and call again.
And we find that in Numbers 35, 31, and verse 33. "Moreover, you shall not take ransom for the life of a murderer who is guilty of death, but he shall surely be put to death." Verse 33, "So you shall not pollute the land in which you are, for blood pollutes the land, and no expiation can be made for the land, for the blood that is shed on it, except by him who shed it." So the one who is a killer pollutes the land, and there's no way to get the stain of the blood off of your land unless that killer is put to death. So these are exceptions that if someone is clearly guilty of murder, you have a blot on your land until that person is put to death.
Lawful war.
In Jeremiah 48:10, "Cursed be the one who does the Lord's work negligently, and cursed be the one who restrains his sword from blood." Also, Deuteronomy 20, well, 1 through 20. This is kind of long, so let me pause and comment on this short verse here. When there's a lawful war, when God says, you get those guys, in this case, it's the Israelites going into their promised land, God told them to go to war, but, and this is in Jeremiah also, but which is also way after the time of the Israelites going to their land. But when God sets you to battle your enemies and you are negligent, that would be considered a sin. You are commanded to go out there and take the enemy's life because God ordains it so. And if you restrain your sword from killing, from blood, you're cursed because God has ordered you to do that. Now, that doesn't give you, in our day and age, "I'm going to go declare war on so-and-so," whether it be a foreign country or a condition of our nation today. People are talking about civil war. Don't be too hot to jump on that gun. For one thing, although depending how you look at it, America is a Christian nation. Let's just go with that for the sake of argument, although that is debatable. We talked about that in a previous episode. God is not raising up a leader or a prophet or a judge or a religious figure saying, this is what the Lord says, go to war with each other. In fact, I would highly doubt that and be skeptical of that, if such a thing would happen. But whenever you have a godly ordained war, then yes, you're negligent if you don't go and do your duty. Okay, let's look at this, because this is a long passage here. Deuteronomy chapter 20, the whole chapter is just 20 verses, but this lays out rules of conduct in war, the rules of engagement here. Verse 1, when you go out to battle against your enemies and see horses and chariots and people more numerous than you, do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, who brought you up from the land of Egypt, is with you. When you are approaching the battle, the priest shall come near and speak to the people. He shall say to them, hear, O Israel, you are approaching the battle against your enemies today. Do not be faint-hearted. Do not be afraid or panic or tremble before them. For the Lord your God is the one who goes with you to fight for you against your enemy to save you. Now, verse 5, the officers shall go, the officers also shall speak to the people, saying, who is the man who has built a new house and not dedicated it? Let him depart, return to his house. Otherwise, he might die in the battle, and another man will dedicate it. Who is the man who has planted a vineyard and has not begun to use it, use its fruit? Let him depart and return to his house. Otherwise, he might die in the battle, and another man will begin to use it, will begin to use its fruit. And who is the man who is engaged to a woman and has not married her? Let him depart and return to his house. Otherwise, he might die in the battle, and another man will marry her. Verse 8, the officers go on. The officer shall speak further to the people and say, who is the man who is afraid and faint-hearted? Let him depart and return to his house, so that he might not make his brother's heart melt like his heart. When the officers have finished speaking to the people, they shall appoint commanders of armies at the head of the people. When you approach a city to fight against it, you will offer it terms of peace. If it agrees to make peace with you and opens to you, then all the people who are found in it shall become your forced labor and shall serve you. However, if it does not make peace with you, but makes war against you, then you shall besiege it. Verse 13, when the Lord your God gives it into your hand, you shall strike all the men in it with the edge of the sword. Only the women and children and the animals and all that is in the city, all its spoil, you shall take as booty for yourself, and you shall use the spoil of your enemies, which the Lord your God has given you. Thus you shall do to all the cities that are very far from you, which are not as cities of the nations which are nearby. Let me pause right there. So this is rules of engagement for cities that are far outside of the boundaries of the promised land. If they have to do battle, it's okay to capture them as slaves if they go peacefully. If they don't, it's okay to kill all the men and take the women and children as slaves along with cattle. Lands that are far away. Now, this tone shifts a little bit as we continue. Going on to verse 16. Only in the city of these people is that the Lord your God is giving you as an inheritance, you shall not leave alive anything that breathes, but you shall utterly destroy them, the Hittite, the Amorite, the Canaanite, and the Perizzite, the Hivite, the Jebusite, as the Lord your God has commanded you, so that they may not teach you to do according to all their detestable things, which they have done for their gods, so that you won't sin against the Lord your God. Verse 19, when you besiege a city a long time, to make war against it in order to capture it, you shall not destroy its trees by swinging axe against them, for you may eat from them, and you shall not cut them down. For is the tree of the field a man that it should be besieged by you? And finally, verse 20, only the trees which you know are not fruit trees you are to destroy and cut down, so that you may construct siege works against the city that is making war with you until it falls. Wow, there's a lot there. And basically, you're at war with the people. Don't destroy the land, because that could be useful for you once you are victorious. You know, use what is not going to be food for war purposes. But you see the rules of engagement. There's rules for cities that are far away outside of land. There's other rules of engagement for those who are in land. And this is all relating to war. This is an exception to the command to not kill. In this case, you're killing, but it's in an authorized war. In this case, it's talking about authorized war by God. But let's bring it into our modern time. I don't see God moving in that way, and he hasn't done that way in centuries, although certain Muslim countries seem to have holy wars. It's not what Christians do and shouldn't be doing. But we do have governments, and if our government says we're going to mobilize and declare a war, Congress has enacted a declaration of war, which is what our country says it has to take. And if they call on you, then it's up to you. You need to do your duty. And it does give some exceptions if you're a newlywed, if you have new property, like a vineyard you haven't seen the first harvest of yet, if you have a house that needs dedicated. There are certain things that let you off the hook, even if you're a coward, if you're trembling and afraid. You don't want to have that bad apple affect others. There are legitimate reasons it gives here. That you can get out of the exception to the exception. So.
Or necessary defense.
Not murdering. What does that mean, necessary defense? Let's look at the scripture. Exodus 22, verses 2 and 3. If the thief is caught while breaking in and is struck so that he dies, there will be no blood guiltiness on his account. Verse 3, but if the sun has risen on him, there will be blood guiltiness on his account. He shall surely make restitution. If he owns nothing, then he shall be sold for his theft. So, in other words, you can protect your property. If a thief breaks in the heat of the moment, you strike him, and he ends up dying, you're not guilty of that. It says there's no blood guiltiness. You're not responsible for his death because of the nature of the crime. But if you wait till the next morning and you go chasing the dude down, then we got problems. There is blood guiltiness on your hands there. So if you try to plot your revenge, that's a problem. Anyway, let's go on.
But first...
Hi, I'm Sharon Wilharm, host of All God's Women podcast and internationally syndicated radio show. I'd love to invite you to join me as we bring to life the stories of women in the Bible and discover their relevance for our lives today. Listen at allgodswomen.com, your favorite podcast platform, or at christianpodcastcommunity.org. Castle Rock Women's Health is a pro-women and pro-life clinic and ministry serving women of all ages and backgrounds in the community of Castle Rock, Colorado, and the surrounding areas. Castle Rock Women's Health offers well women care, prenatal care, extended postpartum care, licensed clinical Christian counseling, fertility awareness, hormone therapy, childbirth classes, STI testing and treatment, ultrasounds, and even the abortion pill reversal. Castle Rock Women's Health uses your generosity to offer services at little to no cost for many women in situations where insurance is not available. But Castle Rock Women's Health needs your help. To serve women better in the community, Castle Rock Women's Health is looking to move into a new office. Please consider a charitable donation to help Castle Rock Women's Health offer life-affirming care and reach more women with the love of Jesus Christ by going to givesendgo.com/CRWH. That's givesendgo.com/CRWH and be a blessing to women in need. For more information about Castle Rock Women's Health, please visit our website at crwomenshealth.com. Thank you so much.
The neglecting or withdrawing the necessary means of preserving life.
What does that mean? Preservation of life. What's the necessary means to preserve life? And whenever those things are neglected, then you have a right to step in. And if it results in a killing, well, let's see what the scripture says. Matthew 5:42 and verse 43. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. Verse 43, you have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. Now, this is what I think is a little out of context. There's more to it than that. But essentially what it's saying is, if someone asks of you and you have it, well, you have a duty to give that to them. You even though they may not have a shovel to dig their garden, that presents a necessary means of life, and you have a duty to give that to them. And to withhold that, I guess that leads to murderous intent. This is why the Westminster folks put this in there. I'm not real certain on this scripture. But you don't want to withhold something from someone in need. Now, if I have a shovel and I'm using it, well, can you wait till I'm done because I'm kind of busy right now? Or if I don't have a shovel to borrow, then I'm not obligated there either. But this goes on. James 2:15 is a reference here, and it says, if a brother or a sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to him, go in peace, be warmed, and be filled, but you don't give him what is necessary for their body, what use is that? And again, I think the purpose here is that neglecting to help somebody in need could lead to some murderous intent. And just to say, oh, be warm and be filled. If someone wants to tell me that, you know, some of my slim days of yore, I would be upset. You know, thanks for the good wishes, but it's not filling my belly and putting earth over my kids. Ecclesiastes 6:1-2. There is an evil which I have seen under the sun, and it is prevalent among men. A man to whom God has given riches and wealth and honor, so that his soul lacks nothing of all he desires, yet God has not empowered to eat from them, for a foreigner enjoys them. So I guess if you do have, it goes on to say, this is vanity and a severe affliction. So if you do have, and a foreigner comes and takes away the fat of your work, well, that could lead to murderous intent, too. And I'm assuming this is what Westminster means. I included these verses with that.
sinful anger.
Matthew 5:22. But I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever says to his brother, you good for nothing, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever says, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the fiery hell. Wow. So there you have it. It's not just physically harming your fellow man. It is this sinful anger, the anger and the name calling can lead to murder. In fact, it doesn't have the scripture, but even Jesus taught that even if you hate somebody, you're as good as killing someone. If you've at least lusted, you're as good as doing the deed with whoever you're lusting after.
Hatred.
1 John 3:15. Everyone who hates his brother is a murderer, and you know that no murderer has eternal life abiding in him. Leviticus 19:17. You shall not hate your fellow countrymen in your heart. You may surely reprove your neighbor, but not incur sin because of him. So it's okay if you have angry words with your neighbor, but you don't need to go so far as to cross the line to sin against your neighbor, which I think that would be a difficult thing to do, knowing where that line is in the heat of the moment.
Envy,
which is our ninth reference point here, so we're getting close to where I'm going to stop. Envy could lead to murderous intent in your heart. It refers to Proverbs 14:30. A tranquil heart is life to the body, but passion is rottenness to the bones. Now, passion is the way it's used in the King James era, and the way the word passion is used in even Bible times. It doesn't mean like, I'm in love with you, baby, you kind of a passion. It means that you have deep, hurtful emotions. You have emotions until they hurt, is maybe a good way to put that. And so if you have a tranquil heart, if you have peace in your heart, it's life. But if you have deep-seated passion, emotions, then it's rottenness.
Desire of revenge.
All these go together. Romans 12:19. Never take your own revenge, beloved, but leave room for the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Now, there's other things. This Westminster statement goes on, talking about all excessive passions, and it wraps up with, you know, with a generic statement about anything that's harmful, anything that's hurtful, whether physically or emotionally, to your fellow man. These all fall under the command to no murdering. It's just two words in Hebrew, no murdering. Thou shalt not murder in English. But these are just things to not do, some exceptions under governmental oversight. And I think Nathan Caldwell points out too that when it comes to the governmental oversight, is that when you know, it comes down to an eye for an eye, tooth for tooth, that you don't get to go over and punch your neighbor in the eye because he punched you in the eye. You take it before a court, and a court official, maybe the bailiff, maybe a sheriff, maybe someone else, a court official is the one who goes over to whap you in the eye, not you. If someone in your family has been murdered, it's up to you to take it to court and have the officials do that. It's not, they don't give you the license to do that. Well, that would be interesting. A license to kill. But you only, if that were to happen, you would only have license to do it to resolve that blood guiltiness. So these are some things relating to this command. And there will be more, because I think it'd be interesting to sift through the duties that are required. You'll find it's like a flip side. It's the positive things that we can do, positive emotional states of mind that will help us not be entangled in this command to no murdering. So that's what I wanted to present today.
Attention, attention, calling all local agencies nationwide. This is a coded broadcast.
I think as parents, we assume that kids are going to just know the right way to do things. You have to train them by teaching them to do it over and over again until they actually get it.
This is Yvette Hampton, host of the Schoolhouse Rocked podcast. Join us each week for a new episode as we offer encouragement and resources on biblical discipleship from popular speakers and authors, as well as parents just like you and me. Find out more at schoolhouserocked.com or listen anywhere you find your favorite podcast.
Would you consider donating to Striving for Eternity? This ministry is one that tries to reach out to some of those smaller churches that most people, most speakers, want to avoid. But by our monthly donors, it allows us to get into smaller churches and provide for them the seminars and conferences that usually only larger churches can do. We can do that because we have monthly supporters who on a regular basis support us so we could support others. Would you consider being one of our monthly supporters today? You can go to strivingforeternity.org/donate and set up for a monthly donation today. Your donation helps us to be able to spread the gospel around the world, to be able to disciple others, and to provide resources for churches and people who are struggling to grow deeper in God's Word. Consider donating today at strivingforeternity.org/donate, and we thank you very much for your consideration.
Okie dokie, well, that's the show, and this important command, and we, like I said, may get back to it, because coming up after this one, as we proceed to these commandments, we got a biggie, a real biggie coming up. And I know it's going to take more than just one episode to munch through it. Oh, by the way, if you are interested in a really well-done podcast series on the Ten Commandments, right now, the Truth Be Known podcast has been going through the Ten Commandments and talking about their application and meaning. They're going through them in order, though. We're going through them in backwards order. Because we're backwards, right? But hey, the guys at Truth Be Known are very smart guys, a couple of pastors. They really know their theology, and they really got it out there. Well done. So check them out. Like I said, right now they're doing the Ten Commandments series, but they want to talk about other stuff. So check them out, part of the Christian podcast community. And that's all I got. I got to wind this all down. Say, hey, this is your host, Keith. Thanks for listening. Tell a friend about us. Help them to put us into their podcatching device. But while you're doing that, leave us a rating and review and tell us what you think about that. I don't always check those, so if you would, be kind and email me so I can go and have a look at it. Maybe we'll read your stuff on the show. But that helps other people know what you think about us. Whether it moves us up on the rating, I don't think it helps a lot at Apple, but in other directories, it certainly does. So there's that. And you know what? Here comes Anthony Russo right now, and he's going to tell you all about our contact info and how to reach us and leave us voicemails and all that fun stuff. Take it away, Anthony Russo.
Visit life-truth.com, where you can find all our shows. Leave a message or call our voicemail number at 401-753-4844. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lifetruthpage. Follow us on Twitter at HPNcast, capital H, capital P, capital N, capital C, AST. Everything Nathan Caldwell does can be found at facebook.com/protectorsofthebook. Music in the show is used by permission of Kevin Zerbe at zerbinator.wordpress.com. May God richly bless you. May you find everything you need. And if you don't know Jesus, your greatest need is a Savior. Thanks for listening.